he made the statement that when the Voyagers went by Uranus and Neptune, they recalculated the masses of those planets, and when they plugged the new masses into the celestial mechanics equations, then all of a sudden those perturbations went away and everybody was happy. Well, that's not the case, I can tell you right now. And that wasn't the case, and it could not possibly be the case, because planet X is not, is far below the plane of the planets. And no matter how much you change the masses of those outer planets, the perturbation is downward, not outward. So nothing except the extraneous 12th planet, 10th planet, whatever you want to call it, would cause that shift in those orbits. Changing the mass would not do that. So he's talking to an uninformed, uneducated audience, and that probably sounds pretty good, but it wouldn't fly past me, I'll tell you that.
Okay.
And if it was visible in 1991 with an 8-inch telescope, go figure.
Yeah, it's got to be... I would figure now it's got to be pretty bright, wouldn't you say?
But the other thing is, now it's within the solar capacitor and it's breaking into a big comet.
Mm-hmm.
But there again, unless you know where to look. And you're in that location, you're not going to see it.
Right.
And the only places on this planet that it's visible are very remote locations. And there again, if something is affecting the sun, it's what my main indicator is, something is causing our sun to go bonkers. It's like your dog's out in the front yard, okay, and he never barks unless somebody comes by.
Mm-hmm.
The dog's out there barking his head off.
Right.
That's what's going on. The sun is barking his head off.
And it's
being caused by something. It's not just doing it on its own.
And this can happen even though this planet X could be trillions of miles away. It could have that kind of an effect.
Yeah,
on the sun.
a big honker like that coming in and breaking the solar capacitor. You have to understand, now the example I use is the backyard bug killer.
Right.
Remember that zapper thing, and the bug flies in and it gets zapped.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens is he's attracted to the light in the center. So it draws him in between the grid, which is the high voltage grid. And he is, flies in there, and then he discharges that capacitor. And the electrical shock kills him, and boom. But that bug is able to discharge, 6 inches of open air, where it did not discharge before the bug flew in.
Right.
And this is exactly what's happening, but on a solar system scale. With our sun at the center, negatively charged, it maintains a negative charge because it's pumping out an excess current of protons in the solar wind. And there's a whole current exchange between the sun and this outer nebular cloud, which is actually held back by solar wind pressure. And I have a picture in my book of a nearby star which has exactly that scenario. So we see these around other stars, and the way they form is the proton wind holds this cloud back. It's in the shape of like a big donut. And when something comes into that region, just like the bug going into the bug zapper, this thing discharges, and if it's a big one, it can discharge the whole solar capacitor, and there's a lot of energy stored there. So that energy flows into the sun, and it kicks it off.